listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Do You are listening to African Perspectives, where we review the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say, Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity. Everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future, we all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Dingmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and the honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashay. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. We don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Peace, family. Hope everything was well with you today. Hope you had a great weekend. Hope you had a chance to do all the things you wanted to do, need to do, should do, must do, will do, and can do. And I hope that the weather was accommodating for you to do it. But if it wasn't, and it had to be done, you got it done, because that's the kind of brother and sister that you is. But I recognize that the weather is a mother pretty much across this country, particularly if you're east of the Mississippi River. It is vicious. It's cold down even in Florida, in Louisiana, and so forth and so on. It's cold here in Atlanta. So I know the brothers and sisters in the Midwest, particularly in the Northeast. In fact, it's been stated by the weather, those meteorologists, that it's bad today, but it's going to be worse Wednesday and Thursday. So, man, tell you. Once again, this is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, or 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, you can always go to the archives of timeforanawakening.com and look for the red, black, and green lion with African pose, and click on that, and you can get all of the previous recorded programs that are dated and titled. Other programs here on Time for an Awakening Media. On Mondays, Acres of Diamonds. All times are going to give our Eastern times, so adjust accordingly. Acres of Diamonds, Monday from 6 to 8, Public Affairs Programming out of Philadelphia. Right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. And that is from 8 to 10. On Wednesday, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness, from 8 to 10. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern time, that means it is time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 a.m. to 12 noon on Saturdays. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., that's right, it's not me. It is Sister POC and her program, Revive, from 11 to 1. And then on Sunday evening from 7 p.m. till, once again, it's time for an awakening. And the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. 490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. It's the largest online marketplace for American African owned businesses, and everything that they sell is produced by us. If you are in the Atlanta area, you can go to the Greenbrier Mall. They have a kiosk in the Greenbrier Mall. They sell laundry detergent, soaps, toothbrushes, batteries, ointment, deodorant, all kinds of good stuff, t-shirts and so forth. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tahembe, he's ready to take another group of people, of our people, back to the motherland. It'll be in May of 2019, this May. And I'll have him on the program really soon. I keep saying that, but it's going to be happening, because I like for you guys to know that possibility is there for you, and the money you need to save. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. You can give Brother Bomani a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429. If you want to see pictures of previous tours, and the one he just had in November and the one in May of last year, go to Facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of those tours, go to YouTube.com/Bomani2007.
Books, brothers and sisters, we need to read books. And one of the places I've always promoted is the Shrine of the Black Madonna, right here in the West End. The Shrine of the Black Madonna, 404-549-8676. 404-549-8676. They're not open on Mondays or Tuesdays. They open up on Wednesday through Saturday. And the address is 946 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. They have books. They have furniture. They have clothing. They have artwork. They have red, black, and green shoes, Kwanzaa kits, you name it. The Shrine of the Black Madonna has it. Also, they have a history class every Saturday of Know Thyself, open, free and open to the public from 1:30 p.m. till 3:30. 1:30 p.m. till 3:30 every Saturday. Know Thyself, and it's free and open to the public. And if you can't do that, but you want the history, you can get a huge collection of our history in a multimedia library from the Shrine of the Black Madonna, the most extensive cultural library of its kind, over 15,000 video files, 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. And you can get that from the Shrine of the Black Madonna. Other bookstore is the bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right next to We Buy Black, next to the kiosk, and that is the Medu Bookstore. And if you go there and they don't have the book you're looking for, I'm quite sure they'll get it for you. Another bookstore is Kahimdi, Brother Kahimdi Ajamu, Brother Kahimdi Ajamu, the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia. The number to call is 404-519-8107. There is Light in the Black Dot. They also have the red, black, and green shoes. In fact, when I was there last week, I was looking for those white ones they have, the UNIAs. And the brother just brought them out for me. Yeah, I'm trying to keep them as clean as possible. Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, cooperative economics or family-centered economics. Us Lifting Us. Every Thursday, check out Us Lifting Us at every Thursday, 9 p.m. Eastern. And on Block Talk Radio, and the number to call is 292-477-2789. 292-477-2789. That's Us Lifting Us, the Economic Development Cooperative for our people. When we pull our monies together, and what do? We created Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu, located at 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza. Open Monday from 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we sell coffee. That's right. We sell coffee. We have Cameroon, Tanzania, Kenyan, Ethiopia, where coffee originates, and, of course, other coffees from around the world. We sell coffee. We also have loose teas. Everything at Cafe Ulu is produced by us. This is Us Lifting Us. If you want to check out, go to Us Lifting Us and also go to CafeUlu.com. We also sell Ambrosia, the vitality drink by my good brother, Brother Novak Young, Ambrosia, which is a vitality drink. And more on that later. Sister Yah Baruti, Brother Mualimu Baruti, he'll be out of town. He'll be in Baltimore this weekend. So Sister Yah has a program this Saturday from 5 to 9. It is for sisters only. Sister Baruti will be discussing navigating the challenges of African womanhood, featuring yoga with Mama Yaney and the Sister Circle. That is this Saturday from 5 to 9 at the Wadada Health Market and Juice Bar, 878 Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard in the West End. And then, of course, in March, March 2nd, Saturday, March 2nd, at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway in Atlanta, just a little bit east of the West End, and that is Akabin Institute at Akabin House's 20th anniversary celebration. And we'll have more on that as that begins to progress. We got our daily affirmations. Our daily affirmations. Inye Sesim, the Inye Sesim, a calendar of revolutionary daily thoughts, daily affirmations. I know today is the 28th, but this weekend there were a couple of them that I want to read because I thought they were very pointed. January 26th. A man who will not labor to gain his rights is a man who will not, if he had them, prize and defend them. Frederick Douglass. People raised on a diet of ease and unearned access, personally socialized to reject the idea of independent thinking and actually working to produce for self, place little, if any, value or concern on their rights. They assume their immutable preeminence and approach them as casually as they do the many things which have the misfortune of crossing their inconsiderate paths. People who receive and expect to receive all they desire without any effort on their part, and even in spite of their every effort not to earn them, place little long-term and even often immediate value on what they receive. The response of intolerant ingrates to personal gifts extends into all areas of life where discipline is not enforced, even to that of respecting their own civil and human privileges. As African people have voluntarily moved to a sense of security in European hands, many of us have been ushered into a purely consuming and leisure mentality, all the while being systematically guided away from any aspirations for real effective power. Our enslavement process, now intensified by the process of emptying our souls of the strength of character, of human character, removing the drive for and reason behind laboring to produce and maintain an autonomous state of being. Before the whip, noose, and various other forms of institutionalized racism kept us in check, now we are suffocating under the weight of our own powerlessness and decadent indulgence. Affirm, I work for African liberation. Affirm, I work for African liberation. January 27th. Is the police agent who exercises torture in contradiction with the values of his group and the system he defends? Franz Fanon. Contrasts are keys to crafting an understanding of what we want to do, not want to be like. Therefore, there is a practical necessity in making obvious generalizations about what is and what is not African. For without generalization, we only see different groups of people evading real similarities. Europeans do not want us to generalize because then we will know them for as one people. If we think of them individually, they stay hidden as people, as a living, conscious, directed force against humanity. Warriors do not have time to sift between us and them individually. It is enough to know the enemy's nature. The time to disentangle white lies from liberal half-truths and notions of multicultural reform of its white supremacist father is not on our side. The dire situation of our people face requires simple, honest, inclusive, but comprehensive tools which will allow them to be more effectively to do the nation building work that has been called to actively engage in. Generalization best serves these intentions. Generalizations, when historically accurate, are statements that describe or characterize the vast majority of members of a group and give an accurate picture of the veneration within a given sample or population, while omitting extremes which will confuse the truth. Affirm, I generalize with knowing and conscious intent. I generalize with knowing and conscious intent. January 28th. The struggle can make the strongest among us weary. We will fight because we must. But our effectiveness must be fed by new thinking and our ability to see a light at the end of the tunnel. Kofi Adeh. It is time for a new vanguard and new consciousness. Self-defined, self-determined, a Safo warrior class guided by a collective of fearless, seasoned, wise Jinuks, which is a Jinuk and Jegna are the words we should use as opposed to mentors or mentor. It is time for silent reflection followed by quiet, determined, immediate action. Revolutionary time is not limitless. Whether or not we believe Clarence Mumford's calculation that revolutions have a shelf life of one generation, which is 20 to 30 years, it is well worth serious consideration. We should know that time is always short for the underdog. It becomes even shorter for the underdog's children when their parents do not do their revolutionary work of instilling that kind of information in their children. Affirm, every day has one of a new conscious, undefeatable vanguard. Our activists, it's the last day I have to liberate African people. Affirm, every day has one of a new conscious, undefeatable vanguard. Our activists, it's the last day I have to liberate African people. Inye Sesem. Brothers and sisters, today I'm going to be talking about a place where I come from, a place where I was born, and that is Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I've done this a few times before, talked about the state of what's happening in Wisconsin and what's happening in Milwaukee in particular, you know. But I tell you, it's really tough. It is extremely difficult because the reality is that it's one of the worst places in the country for American African people to live in. This comes from Leaders Igniting Transformation. I have as my guest this morning and this part of the program a good friend of mine, a dear friend of mine, a brother who I have a lot of love and respect for. We were on the fire department together. We worked with each other for many years, and I've enjoyed every moment of it. In fact, that last few years was fantastic. We had a good crew, didn't we, Brother Everett?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, we had a
How
good
crew. How are you?
I'm doing fine, brother. How you doing, man?
Good. Peace and blessings to you and your family, man.
Yeah, you too. And you stay warm there, man. Believe me. Brother Everett Crowcroft, former president of the Milwaukee Brotherhood of Firefighters, done great work in our community. He is now one of the members of the Fire and Police Commission in Milwaukee. And the Fire and Police Commission in Milwaukee operates in terms of running the programs or administering the tests for fire department and for the police department, dealing with issues of hiring the chiefs of the both of those departments, all kinds of other things that the commission does. And, of course, the commission needs to look at what is being stated here in the state of Black Wisconsin, and more importantly, the budget of the city of Milwaukee. In fact, I'm going to read some of that, Brother Everett, on the budget piece of the city of Milwaukee, because I think that's an area that you will be, you know, most impacted by, and the things that you and your commission has to deal with in terms of what the mayor is proposing. And they have a pie graph here, and it is part of the article of litblackmilwaukee.org. And it says, Freedom to Thrive, Reprioritizing Milwaukee's Budget for Black and Brown Lives. And it shows a pie graph. And in that pie graph, it shows that neighborhood services are 3% of the budget. There's another 3% of the budget. Then health is 2% of the budget. Library is 3% of the budget. The administration is 7% of the budget. Then the next is fire department is 17% of the budget. Public works is next after that at 19% of the budget. And of course, the lion's share of the pie goes to the Milwaukee Police Department at almost 50% of the budget, 46% to be exact, of the city's budget. So you can see that the city of Milwaukee is more concerned about, you know, policing the community. And it's already been stated that it's one of the worst places. The city of Milwaukee is one of the worst places for American African people to live. Let me read a little bit of this, okay? With the proposed city budget being released, it is alarmed that yet again we see the Milwaukee Police Department eating up nearly half of our general purpose budget, While the city continues to heal from the trauma inflicted upon it by the misconduct of a few officers, little has been done structurally to address the root needs of the community and negative social determinants of health. Over investing in law enforcement with nearly 50% of the city's general purpose budget, while other key areas like health, neighborhood services, and libraries only receive a combined 8%, is a disservice to the community. Milwaukee Police Department has a long history of excessive force toward communities of color with little to no action plan to correct this. MPD's excessive force has cost the city of Milwaukee more than $20 million since 2015 and is set to hit an almost $30 million after the latest ACLU stop and frisk lawsuit when it settled. According to governing.com, Milwaukee currently has an officer to 10,000 resident ratio. That's 31.5%, well over the 24.3% average and minimum of 20.7 for cities the size of Milwaukee, which is over 500,000 residents. So you can see they already have an over-policing. And the 2019 proposed budget is set to increase the number of police if passed. The 2019 proposed budget includes funding for an average of 1,800 sworn officers, an increase of 10 from the above funded strength in 2018. The proposed budget includes funding to hire a total of 100 new police officers and recruit through two recruit classes. This over-policing is counterproductive. It redirects taxpayers' resources, desperately in the poor communities, perpetuating a criminal justice pipeline that systematically incarcerates Milwaukee's communities of color, creating a birth-to-prison pipeline for youth of color in the city. This resource pipeline must be dismantled and replaced with an agenda that is intersectional, fully funded, and transformative to give communities of color the opportunity to thrive in Milwaukee. We must ask ourselves a critical question regarding our city budget. What are the values and does this budget match them? The request by the request by the department was $295,739,180 for their 2019 budget. But the mayor came back and put it at $299,584,671. That is an increase of $3.8 million in the proposed budget. While Mayor seemingly values Milwaukee Police Department enough to add 10 new officers and a recruiting class of 100 new police officers in his budget, we are wondering, where's the money for the city's lead abatement program? Where's the and all the other issues that the city faces? In this same budget, the mayor has proposed cutting the neighborhood services budget by $300,000 while only adding just two positions to conduct more lead abatement inspections. This once again highlights the disinvestment in social programs, public welfare, and infrastructure, and government services in the city. This is exactly why Milwaukee has been named the worst metro in the country to raise American African children due to large statistics like American African infants die before their first birthday at more than twice the rate of Caucasians. Only 24% of American African children in Milwaukee grow up in economically secure households compared to 72% of Caucasians. American African youth in Milwaukee were more than twice as likely to be arrested. In Milwaukee Public Schools, almost 85% of referrals to law enforcement were American African students. Milwaukee has had the most cases in the nation of sexually transmitted diseases. K-12 schools in Wisconsin suspend high school students at a higher rate than anywhere else in the country and has the second highest disparity in suspension rates between Caucasians and American African students. American African students have enrolled in college at a rate of 25% lower than others. The life expectancy for American African residents in Wisconsin is 6 years lower than for Caucasian residents. These problems are not unsolvable. Milwaukee is rich in youth, and this paragraph is a very true statement. I would say these problems are not unsolvable. Milwaukee is rich in youthful talent, homegrown ideas, and people closest to the issues to solve these problems. The disconnect is that where we spend our money is going into the criminalization of these people, thus stifling their growth and development and leaving Milwaukee dry of talent. Now is the time to get creative with our solutions and to rethink public safety. Imagine our city through a thriving lens of all communities. We ask is that Milwaukee's leadership to be bold, brave, and committed to reducing police budgets by 25% by 2025 and reinvest back into youth programs, social and public welfare programs, local businesses, infrastructure, government services, and communities of color who have had their taxes used to fund their own oppression for far too long. With just 25% reduction in the police budget, Milwaukee would have nearly $74 million to invest into improving the lives most impacted by over-policing. Just a few ideas of how we can spend that $74 million on that would make a difference in Milwaukee. First, employ 5,000 young people under the Earn and Learn program. That's $8.5 million. Triple the health department budget and earmark for health equity work to take on critical lead, the lead problem, and sexually transmitted disease and other crisis-level health problem emergencies. Additionally, this would allow expanded work around violence prevention, mediation, and other things that the city so desperately needs, and that is $28 million. Increase tenfold the water filter program at $1.5 million. Increase the Milwaukee Public Library budget by 50% to help expand hours and staff to increase the usage of literacy, reading, job lab, and other programs, $11.5 million. That is just $49.5 million. There is still $24.5 million after these ideas. Milwaukee's future will be shaped by this budget and the youth watching to see who is willing to be a champion for change and who needs an opponent in 2020. You know, the article itself explains that there is possibilities for Milwaukee. And I know when you were appointed to the Fire and Police Commission, I know you said something about the police department that caused some kind of concern, because I know that we know that in Milwaukee, the police department has been not like there to protect and serve. They've been there to comply or die. They've been like an occupying force within the community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the culture we have to change. One good thing about the state of Milwaukee being so bad is that we got a lot of upside. And we got a lot of soldiers out there carrying the load, brother. We got Muhib, we got myself, we got African-American firefighters, African-American police officers. But the thing is that we definitely have to change the culture. And being on the Fire and Police Commission, I have the opportunity to shape policy. And it starts at the policy. The only way to stop bad behavior is to severely punish police officers and hold them accountable. But until we get a DA in there, and until the voters vote a new DA that has the courage to indict police officers, then we gonna be in a vortex, mm-hmm. brother.
Yeah, is the DA this? Has he been in that position? He or she been in that position for some time?
Matter of fact, yes. And he told him after Dontre Hamilton got murdered by police officer, as I call it, murder. I call it like I see it. He was basically saying, "Hey, if you don't like it, run somebody against me."
Mm. That was his attitude. That's not Grant Langley, is it?
No. That's D.A. Chisholm.
Chisholm. Oh, the Milwaukee County D.A. Grant Langley was the city attorney. Okay, Milwaukee County D.A.
Chief Flynn fired him, you know, and he ended up getting duty disability. That's a whole nother story, man. But on the Fire and Police Commission, my other commissioners and the chair we do see the damage that has been caused by over policing. We also see the disparity in African Americans versus European Americans that are on the police department is still there. Fire department as well. I think on the fire department, it's even worse. I think we only have about 85, 90 firefighters, and those are family sustaining jobs that everybody should be afforded that opportunity to reach,
right,
and be employed. That's one of the biggest things. I know, you know, when we were growing up, we had A.O. Smith and it was industrialized.
Right.
And we talked about this a lot, is that when you have jobs, you have less crime.
Right.
And all of the jobs, and it seems like it's social engineering by design. We don't have the bus routes to get to the job. All the factories are on the outside. They're paying $19, $20, $30 an hour with just a GED and a high school education. We can't get to them. And then when we try to get to them, of course, when you come out there, you don't look like them. You get stopped every day on the way to work.
Mm-hmm.
That's been reported as well. So we do need a transportation system that can get the people in our community to the job, because they're not investing in our community. We had Talgo, you know, the railroad.
Mm-hmm.
They were going to have their distribution and maintenance facilities right here in 30th Street Corridor.
Yeah. But the governor cut that off. The governor put it next to that.
Right. And they, Governor Walker struck that down, and they had commercials talking about it's the soul train. It's the soul train is coming to our neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just crazy, man.
Yeah.
But there is a like I said, a big upside. There's opportunity. The problem is that our best and greatest minds, when they get the opportunity to leave, they leave and don't come back.
Yeah, it's a brain drain. You know, I remember when I was there and when the mayor was looking for a new police chief, and the brothers and sisters within the department rose to that position, rose in that process. He changed it. You know, he nixed the process. These people went through the process and he nixed it, and he hired Flynn from out at the East Coast and gave him a dollar less than what the mayor was getting. Instant, you know. And so he had a couple of things within the community. One, he was at the community brainstorming, which is every third Saturday St. Matthew's Church. And so I was there, and he said something that took me back, that I had to question. He said that, you know, crime creates poverty. And I was like, huh? I was like, huh? This is not the only time he said it. He said it another time, and I jammed him up again on it. You know? I said, no, man, you know, crime doesn't create poverty. Poverty creates crime. If we have a community where people have jobs, people are owning homes, people are saving money, people are sending kids to school, people are supporting businesses, you're going to have very little crime. But when you don't have jobs, when you don't have a good infrastructure, when you have all these things, there is a breeding ground for crime. And so his mentality coming in was a them versus us mentality. You know, it, like I said, it wasn't, you know, protect and serve. It was comply or die. And as you can see by what has happened in Milwaukee, but even before them, and I'm not going to say that was all Flynn, you know, because even before then, there were other brothers and sisters who died at the hands of the Milwaukee Police Department. But even at that time, as you can remember, Everett, we had a county district attorney who had never, ever indicted a police officer, ever.
Oh, McCann.
Ever.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is the reason for that is that the DA's office and the police department, they're pretty much have a almost like a marital relationship, because the DA relies on the police to bring the cases to them and to convict. So, you know, they do that. They're married. They join at the hip, man.
Yeah.
One can't do without the other.
Right.
And then you have the powerful unions that are backing them and giving them the money. So they're going to find every reason to say that an infraction, whether it's excessive force, sexual abuse, or killing someone, is that it was a justified shoot, mm-hmm. that it was justified choking. That's what they do.
Yeah.
But when there's a black cop or a Hispanic, a brown cop, then they find every way
right.
to say that this cat needs to be fired and needs to go to jail.
Right, because that's the case in Milwaukee. Here you had D.A. McCann, who had never done anything, and there was the brother who killed the Latino on the south mm-hmm. side, and come to find out, he was going to be indicted, you know,
yep.
for that. And he wound up committing suicide, Glover, Officer Glover.
Right,
he wound
right.
up committing suicide. He was going to be one of the first to be indicted by the district attorney's office. And so when Chisholm came in, I remember, he said he was at brainstorming again, saying, I'm not going to be like McCann. I'm going to be open. I'm going to be. No, he's the same thing. It was the
right.
same old under him. You know, now what is...
You know, it's baked into the law too. It's just that they almost, it's pretty much their past. They just say they fear for their life, or
sure.
the subject didn't follow instructions and that kind of thing. And so that's the way they look at this stuff.
Yeah. It's just like,
I'm learning quite a bit now that I'm on the commission, and the way it's booked into law, if you put the judge gives juries instructions. And if it doesn't meet that, you know, if it doesn't fit, you can't quit. but you know, they give them these rules, and you know, they give the jury the instruction, and if it doesn't fit in that little small box,
mm-hmm.
you have to acquit the person.
Right. So the judge get that dictate or the parameters by which they can judge somebody. And if
right.
you can't go
right.
outside of those parameters, even though
right.
that's what would need to be, because the bottom line is, and it's just like, I just seen a piece on the cop that killed the Caucasian lady in Minneapolis. Now he's going to prison.
The brother. Yeah,
exactly. The brother. He's
mm-hmm.
going to prison.
Alley.
Mm-hmm. But we've seen
in the dark alley.
Didn't know. And as he approached the car, you know, but as you can see, you know, he's going to go to prison. But there have been other
right.
instances of cops killing somebody under the pretense that they
killed.
Right. That they felt their lives were threatened, or they felt some kind of uneasy. And yet they maintained their positions, you know, so.
And then, you know, all of the juries, they're selected through the voting rolls. So when you have a white officer killing someone, and then you got an all-white jury, it's just down in South Carolina here as well. They will acquit. You
mm-hmm.
know, that's what they do. You know, black folks, we straight up, we just see it how we see it, and we rule one way or the other. They see color.
Yeah.
Thing is colorblind.
Right. Well, the thing is this, is that there's a perception that juries are randomly selected. I beg to mm-hmm. differ. You know, juries are crafted, and they're structured
oh, yeah.
by
a
defense.
They,
right.
They, yeah.
By the defense as mm-hmm. well as the prosecution, you know,
right.
to put the people on that jury that they feel that the verdict that they want will happen, you know. And that's just a reality. How many, what is the makeup of Milwaukee's police department and fire department structurally or racially, so to speak, today?
I believe it's like 20% African-American on the police department out of almost 1,800. And so it's about, what is that, 300, almost 350. Mm-hmm. And about anywhere 80 and 90 out of the workforce of our force of 800.
Wow. So we're less than less than 20% on the police department, and we're less than 10% on the fire department. But yet we're almost 50% of the population of the city of Milwaukee. And is
yeah, we're just minority city.
Yeah. Yeah, cuz when you put in Hispanics and Native Americans and so-called others, we're over the 50%.
Right. I said, if that makes any sense, but we're the global majority.
Yeah, the global majority.
Yeah. We are. Black and brown people are the global majority
yeah.
throughout this throughout the world.
Throughout the world.
You know?
Throughout the world, because
yeah.
Caucasians are about 10% of the world's population, but they control damn near everything.
Thank you.
You know,
mm-hmm.
And so in
this. But, you know, getting back to, you know, the biggest issue is the social engineering and the segregation and the housing covenants that they had. And they put us all in one area. We didn't have freedom of mobility. And we also had our own businesses. I remember, my sister worked at Robbie's. And my brother worked at Ebony Q. Blacks employ blacks.
Right.
People tend to hire the people that look like, not all of them, but people tend to hire people who look like them. And that's the issue that we're having.
The
hyper-segregation.
Right. Well, see, I have no problem with that in the private sector, but I have a serious issue with that in the public sector. When you have almost 50% of your people are people of color, but yet your departments reflect 80 to 90% Caucasian, particularly Caucasian male, that's something fundamentally wrong with that. That's like taxation without representation, you know? So I have a problem with that, you know, but even in the public sector, I mean, there was a thing saying that, I know we always talk about meritocracy and that people are judged on their abilities and looked at objectively and stuff like that. The reality is that even today, that a Caucasian with a high school diploma makes more money than a brother or sister with a college degree, you know? And if two people came for the job and they both had equal qualifications, one being American African, the other being Caucasian, because, you know, we're not job givers. We're job seekers. And who we seek jobs from can't stand our ass, you know. So when we both come up there equally, more than likely the Caucasian to get the job. But if the Caucasian, his qualifications are weak, and a brother or sister come in there and they're outstanding, then they might get the job. So I'm saying that to say that, you know, not all the time does it work that way. But I could never speak to what an individual can, what an individual can do, you know, but collectively is the issue. So collectively, that when you look at the situation where a Caucasian can get have better income and so forth, and across this country, that is like that in almost every major city, that these that these inequalities are there. You know, these deep disparities are there, you know? So like, just like here in Atlanta, it's the same thing. You know, we have we probably have the widest income disparity amongst our people between those of us who have and those of who have not. And the reason being is because a lot of entertainers and athletes move to this area, you know, because they can build things a lot less inexpensive here than they could on the West Coast or on the East Coast. But we don't run nothing here either. You know, we have the usual businesses. No, we don't have serious businesses where we can employ our people. We have the usual, you know. In fact, I haven't even been able to find a damn cleaners. In fact, I haven't even been able to find, a service station. And there is no supermarket. So all this talk about Atlanta and how progressive people moving here is basically individuals doing well. Because you have individuals here are doing so well. They live in gated communities, cul-de-sacs, subdivisions, and so forth. Beautiful. Just like, you know, in Milwaukee, we are only in. We're only in Milwaukee County. But here, you know, the city of Atlanta is in five different counties, and we're in all of that, you know, and we're everywhere. But by the same token, we don't have, just like brothers and sisters who might live in a particular area, but yet the businesses in that area are not ours.
Right.
You know, the strip mall where you go to the service station, all the other things that you want to buy, they are not ours, you know. So the reality is that we have and have had a situation across this country with us in a relationship that we are consumers, they are shopkeepers, we are job seekers, they are job givers. Our situation is beholden to that group, and it's unfortunate.
Yeah, and you know, you were talking about the job giver as well. You know, HR, people in HR, like you get the gatekeepers. We get more African Americans in HR that when somebody's across the table that looks like them, they're, you know, they give them a fair shot. And when I was talking about the numbers bear it. I know in Milwaukee, like for a typical black family, they make about $28,000-$30,000 a year, compared to like a typical median white family makes about $65,000-$70,000 a year. Mm-hmm. And they can't afford to move outside of where they are right now. And matter of fact, if I was them, I'd just stay there with the regentrification, because when we move out, they're going to move in. They're going to get those properties at like pennies on the dollar.
And yeah, it's happening all over.
Paying $1,000 in taxes for, you wouldn't be able to afford the taxes in 10 years.
Right.
And the thing is, it's like, wasn't that Rick Ross?
Yeah.
Buy back the block.
Yeah.
You know, we have to be, it's social engineering, and we just have to be smarter, you know, and use our money smarter. Because right now, if you invest, it's not as much.
Right.
But you got to have money to invest.
Well, you know, just like my guy, you know, I love me some Beast Mode. I do. I love me some Beast Mode. You know, Marshawn Lynch is buying up properties in the Oakland area to stem the tide of gentrification. You know, and the gentrification is happening right all over, because the Caucasians, they're tired of living way out in those long commutes. You know, they want to be near the center of the city or the downtown area where the theater is and all these activities and so forth. And that's what Atlanta is pushing, this piece towards millennials, trying to get it, you know, to have millennials move here in you know, because to take advantage of the other amenities that they have here, you know. So
Now they're pioneers.
Yeah.
They're homesteaders.
They're homesteaders.
right.
Yeah.
Oh man, I know you're talking about.
Hello, I can't hear you. I didn't hear you. Go ahead. I didn't hear you. Go ahead.
Okay, I said the last few entry level exams that we had on Milwaukee Fire Department, the Police Department, the Fire and Police Commission has restructured their. So you remember when the veterans get like almost 20 points,
right?
They were coming from all the states, and we wouldn't have anybody with the residency points, 5 points, and the 5 points. Is huge, because if you're a city resident and you qualify for a position, the minimum qualification, high school diploma, no felony, and a driver's license. So, get your skills up, but you have to be physical and you have to be smart. It's not a job for average intellect these days, because you have to become an EMT and a paramedic. You have to know hydraulics. You have to know fire science. So it's evolved to the point where you almost need a 2-year degree to become a firefighter, but they afford you that opportunity, the minimum requirements. And if you're trainable, you can make a great life for yourself, fire and the police department. So what they did was they lowered the military points to 3.
Is that right? Because they were used to be 10.
Yes. And now, and some of them at 20. That 20, because if they had a disability from the Army, they would get 20.
Man.
So they would just go right to the top of the list.
Yeah.
You know, they could score 80 and have 100. They scored 90, yeah, 110.
Right.
So, but that's good, because it actually reflects the list. Our list is a lot more, the top 100 is a lot more black and brown than it's ever been. And even in the top 300.
Mm-hmm.
So, and with the cadet program for the fire department is working well, but the police department's cadet program, getting black bodies in those squad cars
has
always
been kind of tough. Yeah, because of how the police because of how the police are viewed, you know.
Yeah, right. But they're viewed because that's the way they act.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, you can't expect the community to help you out with crimes and snitch when you don't snitch on your own.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's one of the reasons I got in high water, because I said they promote a culture of no snitching.
Right.
If you say there's only, you know, 5 to 10% bad actors on your department, why are 90% of them scared? And why do they think that one dangerous situation they get in, that whole 10% going to be working that shift and not back them up?
Well, I know our time.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Right. I know our time.
So,
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Everett.
No, I was just saying. So I was like, where's the courage come in?
Yeah.
You know, in the fire department, when we had a firefighter that was a thief or just racist or whatever, you know, that cat got fired.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time, not a racist, though. They kept the racist because they kept them.
They kept those ignorant bastards
over and over, like they was like, you know, in an alternative high school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they couldn't grasp that they had to treat each other with respect, no matter what the color.
Yeah.
Treat the person on Lake Drive just like you treat the person on King Drive, and you'd be okay.
Right. That's right. That's the mentality she had. But you know, now you are. I know. I read that article, and they said by the year 2025, you want to decrease the police department's budget. And I know that's something that the mayor proposes, but the Fire and Police Commission has a hand in helping to shape that. The police department.
Oh, no doubt. You know, no doubt. Because
and the fire department.
We need quality policing. More police is not going to make you safer. It's just not.
Mm-hmm.
You got to have quality policing. You got to build a trust between the community and the police department. The only way to do that is for them to start, you know, being transparent, being friendly. You don't have to be angry. And I really do think if the residency has to come back, and if not, make it so that the residency points goes all the way up through. You can use them for the promotional exams. And that when, like in Akron and New York and Philly and different major cities, what they do is that if you live outside of the city,
right.
you get paid 10% less, not
2%.
Because that's not going to stop anybody from moving.
Right.
And they say they're moving.
2% sure won't, but 10% definitely will. That's for
right.
sure.
Right, 10% will. And we're losing that because people are coming into the city just like Atlanta. They live outside the city, but people are coming to the city on a daily.
Right.
It's just packed. And when they leave, they take their dollars with them. So they tax our infrastructure. They tax our fire, our police, our sanitation. And they get basically for free.
Yeah. Well, listen, my brother, I'm going to take a break here. I appreciate you. Appreciate what you do. I'm praying for you.
Man, hey, you know what? I wouldn't be in this position if it wasn't for God Almighty.
I hear you.
Because I'm a free black man.
Right on. You know,
I'm a free black man, brother. And so what can they do?
Yeah. Well, continue to advocate
they can do what they want to do. But, you know, when you know that you're just here for a short time, you got to make a difference and move the needle, man, because it's a ministry. And that's where I always looked at it on the fire department and this position as well, as I come to help and make things better for our community and for Milwaukee at large.
Right on. I appreciate you, dear brother. All right.
Okay.
All right. Everett Crowcroft. Everett Crowcroft, former lieutenant on Milwaukee Fire Department and now a member of the Fire and Police Commission, who is being charged with helping to make it more equitable in the city of Milwaukee. We're going to take a break. When we come back from the break, on the other side, I'll be talking with Sister Cheryl Blue and from the Corridor, and we'll talk about the rest of that article of the state of Black Wisconsin. You're listening to African Perspectives on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. You stay with us.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshie on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Thank you. able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the shape of a war theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still lifes of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Keyes, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Peace. My name is Professor X the Overseer. And what you're about to witness is the messenger group X-Clan. Here's the nine. The movement Black Watch. And when we're not outraged about the oppression upon the black existence, we step to you in blackness. By the way,
exist in a state of vainglorious as we are protected by the red, the black, and the green. Heed the words of the brother, Sissy.
Let us the words, word to phrase, to paragraph. Heed math as Jay begins class. Science of past is now brought to the rhyme fix. From the scroll, straight to the verse. God to God, so God's to man. Many kings, many leaders, a fist from a hand. They call me militant, now what does this mean? Do I carry a gun to leave the army scene? Put the cause and never pause, as simply as the brother. Raise the flag, wave the colors. Red, black, green with the key, the difference. Words make a way in the world in an instant. Living to die and I die to live again. 360 degrees. Comprehend, a man getting stronger till he's man no longer. Unearthly state makes the time seem shorter. The ever radiant awareness brought forth the one. Open nine stroke sun. Practicing priests, standing by what I teach. So you all stand starving as I start to release. Words of love. Brought from the Genesis, will exist till Armageddon is a witness. The originals built the earth. One must it be aggression to learn a basic lesson? Quite majestic, stern within reality. A juggernaut when you tamper with mentality. However, crown, extension and dimension of a brain cell. Bringing hell to the sellouts. The ever tangled web we weave. Always trying to obtain, no attempt to achieve. Defenders of kings and queens act like justice. Never potential, quarter of the measure. Jealousy of what are we? Becomes tendency for their thievery. Alright, cool. But no need to pull the tool, cause that's a fool. I get my words like that.
It's another way of taking out these sissies who may try to extinct my principality. But of course, I'm not having any madness. From beginning, I'm the end. Observe me. Ignorance is not a trend. So as I beckon for a few seconds, pull the reins and give the words of the brother. Mastering words on the verse. Funk is a force I exert. Egyptian, African, now I'm on a black watch. Check my sundial, synchronize a clock. I can catch a shadow as the moon reflects the sun. Creator's eyes make a path of other one. So now I walk softly and carry a big stick, a bird stick, so you natives wanna lick. Jay brings the funk and spreads jam to the wheat bread. And the funk of this one vanglorious, unearthly resistance, strong with persistence. Grand verbal allocations, tribal connection, pyramids, witness the funk bearer. Vibe sharer, not the era. Brother is balanced like the scales of Thor. And even my demand makes stones seem soft. Corrupts all systems, positive poison of me. Some call it onk, it's a key. Black is a color while blackness, state of a mind state. But how many of you think? Today, Brother Jay can find a better way, so be it. Plan it down and make it stay, I serve a purpose. Yet I'm not the G.I. Joe, I am the brother. Yo, I can never swear a person. Just hear me a step to the mic and stage area. As I drop the science that breaks the clock barrier. Words of old make me more than a beginner. The key opens knowledge and places in the tenor. Americana man, Africana brother. Don't forget the land, cause the birth is from the mother. A vibe is in place, obtained and discovered. Tune in your audio and hear the words of brother.
Yo, Aristotle, Plato, Socrates, step off.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Other programs on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, Acres of Diamonds from 6 to 8. And then right after Acres of Diamonds is Let's Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister POC, Proof of Consciousness from 8 to 10. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. On Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 to 12. And then on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., it's once again Revive with Sister POC. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., it's time for an awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832, 215-490-9832. That was, of course, Gil Scott-Heron, The Revolution Would Not Be Televised, and X-Clan, The Word of the Brother. That's right. And I have a special guest, a good friend of mine as well, another person who I have a lot of love and respect for out of Milwaukee, and that is Sister Cheryl Blue. Good afternoon. Well, still morning to you, but afternoon here. How you doing?
Peace. I'm well. How about you?
I'm doing fine. I saw this particular piece on Wisconsin, and I've read a couple of pieces on my radio program previously about what the issues are in Wisconsin. And because, you know, it is stated as the worst place for American African people to live. It's the worst place for children to bring to be educated or non-educated or miseducated. It's the worst place for health issues and so forth and so on. And I know that in our friendship, we've always talked about, you know, what we as American Africans in Milwaukee can do to change that dynamic, and the possibility is there, you know.
Right.
But I know when you look at this kind of situation, you know, kind of, I don't know, it kind of says, like, you know, can we really do this? Do we really have the ability to do this, given all of the problems and the myriad of problems? You know, from the article, I'm going to just glean some things from it. You know,
okay.
From birth to death, Wisconsin's American African residents face compounding systematic discrimination. As a result, Wisconsin's racial disparities have widened and is now reportedly the worst state in the country for American African people to live. The impact of these systems designed to fail can be seen at every stage of life for American African people. This highlighted by the recent Wallet Hub study that found Wisconsin is the most segregated state in the nation between Caucasians and American African residents due to massive gaps in health indicators. Medium income, the median income gap is 48th. Labor force participation, 50th. Unemployment rate gap, 48th. Poverty rate gap, 50th. High school diploma gap, 47th. Standardized test scores, 45. Voter turnout gap, 33. Infant mortality gap, 39. Our infant mortality rate for infants of non-Latino American African women is the highest in the nation. The life expectancy of Wisconsin's residents, American African residents, is 6 years lower than that of Caucasian. Wisconsin was the only state in the nation to see this gap widen. Simply, this is unacceptable, and it is rooted in racism. Racism causes persistent racial discrimination in housing, education, employment, and criminal justice. And an emerging body of research demonstrates that racism is a social determinant of health. And I know you have a new governor, and Governor Eves.
You? Eves, huh? You? It's not we anymore?
Yeah. No, I'm still down. I'm still down, sister.
Okay.
Okay. But yeah, he acknowledges a number of things. He says, today, we are also a state among the worst to raise American African families, and we are a state that is spending more on corrections than our entire the university system. But unfortunately, he failed to lay out a plan or a concrete steps of how to turn Wisconsin around from its birth to death pipeline that has led Wisconsin to be named the worst place for African-American people, and particularly African-American children, you know. And I know that you look at it, you know, and I know just talking with you the many times we have, you are always positive. You are always thinking of ways that would change this dynamic, and how if we come together with like-mindedness and seriousness, not ego, not tripping, not looking at what is in it for me, but looking at what is the best practices, what is the best thing we can do for our people, it, and then you believe it can be done.
Right, right, I do. Well, first, I mean, those statistics are absolutely astounding. I mean, it's unbelievable how Milwaukee ranks. However, and that's not to say that it's not real. That's not to say that those aren't things that people are dealing with every day. But at the same time, I think that as a people, we have to have, you know, different teams, different squads, different roles on the team. And I think that a lot of times, you know, we overly focus on the negative and the problems. And so what I'm saying is that we have to deal with those things in an intelligent way. But at the same time, we can't get mired down in emotion. You know, we can't, you know, just constantly complain and be powerless, because we can change these things, you know what I mean, in terms of, you know, whether that's policies, whether that's positions and things like that. So I do think that all of those things are things that need to be addressed in a systematic way, you know, not town hall meetings where everybody's crying about what somebody else is going to do, but in a serious, systematic way, you know, just in terms of, you know, us coming together as a collective with a game plan about how things are going to be handled. Because today, you know, a lot of the activism is around, you know, complaining, you know, showcasing a negative scenario, you know what I mean? And while that's important that you deal with it, but it has to have outcomes. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you can't just say, why the education so bad? What y'all going to do? Okay. You can elect your own school board members. You know what I mean? You can have an agenda. You know, you can take the schools in your neighborhoods and get involved and figure out how to make it happen. And so that's, I believe, what we have to do, because we obviously can't look to the federal government, which is a good thing, you know, in my estimation. You know, it's Donald Trump is revealing America Unmasked.
No doubt.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
A lot of people, you know, and that's a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we don't need to be, you know, because Obama, you know.
Right.
The hood was the same under Obama.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And but so, we were fooled by the okie doke. You know, there was this illusion.
The aesthetics. Right. Yeah, the aesthetics. You know, he's likable. You know, he's cool. You know, and so that kind of lulls us to sleep. And so the stark reality of our situation is sobering, but it's something that we need to deal with. But at the same time, there's opportunity in the local, situation in terms of where you are, particularly in Milwaukee, because Milwaukee is the youngest, blackest city in the United States. Okay,
Milwaukee is that right?
Has the most under 18-year-olds per capita in the United States. In Milwaukee, I think like most of the neighborhoods in the inner city are 40 to 50% under 18. And so what that means is that, and officially, Black Milwaukee is 40% of the population and the Latino community is 13%.
So that makes it, makes a majority, so-called majority minority city, just as Everett pointed out.
Right, yeah. Right. And which I call a long way of saying this is a black city, because it's hard for people to say that. Mm-hmm. But this is a young black city. And with all of those disparities, the silver lining, if you will, is that a lot of these people are very disenfranchised. They're not indoctrinated into the system. You know, they're very scrappy, they're very fearless, they're very hungry. And so with all of the resources that we have here, because Milwaukee is not, you know, we talk about our people being poor, but this is not a poor city. And also, if you look at the opportunities that present themselves for our people, we have an abundance of opportunities here if we will wake up and take advantage of the opportunities in a systemic way. And so this, and what I mean by that is, so like I said, the poverty rate is strong here. It's very high in the black community. However, we have a school district that is like 77 to 80% black.
That's right.
That's run by a black administration. You know, I like some of the things I'm hearing from the new superintendent, Dr. Posey, about childhood literacy, because we know literacy is everything, you know, because MPS currently has a 20% literacy rate. Oh, she 20%, 20%.
Man, that's sad.
Okay, let me calm down.
I don't want you to calm down.
But
said that's okay. I bring that fire. But listen, let me run some of this information by you so we can get and for our listeners. And once again, you can give us a call at 215-490-9832, right. 215-490-9832 to add to this conversation. The new governor, Evers, could have a budget proposed showing some strong investments in the community by increasing funding to the public schools with mandates around ethnic studies, hiring more counselors, social workers, and therapists, and investing into a pipeline of teachers and staff of people of color in Wisconsin schools. He also could end suspensions and expulsions, keep students in school, and put a major dent in the school-to-prison pipeline. He could decrease the prison population and budget and reinvest those dollars back into communities most impacted by over-policing, additionally ban solitary confinement, invest in job training and placement programs that trains, develops, and retain the talent that you just mentioned and is part of a labor force in Wisconsin, reinvesting in social programs that focus on social determinants to health for American African residents, expand access to publicly funded health care centers through the state, and drastically increase Wisconsin investment in public health departments, reinvest into public transportation, commit to banning all policing seizures and redirecting any repossessions to a community-controlled crime prevention fund, commit to the immediate demilitarization of all police departments in the state by removing military surplus equipment, banning of further purchase. legalize marijuana use, and use these tax dollars to reinvest in communities most impacted by over-policing and incarceration. Invest into public higher education by making all public universities and technical schools tuition-free. Wow, wouldn't that be something? Pass a wide range of democracy reforms, including automatic voter registration, pre-registration for 16 and 17-year-olds, restore the right to vote to those convicted of felonies, and expand early voter in the state. And that was suggested by this article here of the state of Black Wisconsin, you know. And that is something. Wisconsin must address persistent racial disparities in health outcomes and social, economic, and educational environmental inequalities that contribute to them. This is not hiding from the fact that there is two Wisconsin, one that sees Caucasian communities thrive and one that sees American African communities deprived. And that's a fact. But there is the talent that is there that you mentioned, that also, too, if these things are redirected, you know, I mentioned that you didn't probably hear when Everett Crowcroft, the new appointed member of the Fire and Police Commission, talked about the mayor's budget, where almost 50% of his budget is for policing. Very little of it going to other things. You know, the budget is almost 50% police department, almost 20% fire, almost 20% of these other programs. And unfortunately, they don't make an impact that they can. You know, like I said, 46% police, the neighborhood services 3%, other 3%, and health department 2%. That's 8% of that. And the library is 3%, but the administration is 17%. Public Works is 19 and fire is 17. That is the mayor's proposed budget. And unfortunately, it doesn't deal with the information or doesn't deal with the things that would help young brothers and sisters feel more that they're part of it and be confident that they could access training programs and so forth.
Well, the thing is, Oshi, is that I believe that those are worthy issues. Those are worthy policies that should be explored. I think that politics is one way that, you know, we can advance some things. I don't think that it's the only way. And I don't think that it's the way that the majority of us need to focus. Because again, you know, and like I said, not saying that that's not real and we don't pay taxes and we shouldn't have those advantages. But the truth of the matter is, there are tons of resources in this community that our people are not taking advantage of. You know, they all talk about, we need jobs. There are tons of jobs in the city, well-paying jobs. They need people to work really, really bad. There's industries here who would like to expand, except for the fact that they can't find qualified workers. And in a lot of instances, due to the racism that you spoke about, because you have a lot of young people that just don't have, you know, basic work ethic and things like that. However, in my estimation, that is not a program per se. That is a cultural shift. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And we have to have a cultural shift, and we have to have a vision to understand the opportunities here and us beginning to build families and communities and think about our future and what we could have here. You understand what I'm saying? So, for example, there are tons of homes here that are available, a lot that can be bought. There are hundreds of police officer jobs, there's firefighter jobs, there's city department jobs. I mean, and these are all well-paying jobs. There's trade. There are so many opportunities. You have MATC here that does a lot of training, you know, connecting with various trades and things like that. But the issue is that so often we who think we're so radical will say, look at the system. We're supposed to be trying to build another reality for our people. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Because when you have an economic foundation, then you're a player. You don't have to beg and whine and cry. And we cannot expend our energy, you know, saying that that's, you know, like I said, and not to say that's not important. That is a lane. You know, Ashanti Hamilton is going to run for mayor next year. God willing, that'll be our first black mayor. That's a position that we can use as part of our strategy. You know, just like when you talk about Governor Evers, and we have some great people in the state capitol that are working, David Crowley, David Bowen, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Lena Tate, we got some good people up there. So we need to be able to do some things simultaneously, but people have to be in a lane where they are moving forward with this process. Whether that's, you know, being in the schools, changing the school culture, helping with the curriculum, the food. We got all of these things that need to happen, and we have to wake up. We have to grow up. You understand what I'm saying? We can't just continue to sit back passively about what's going to happen, what they're going to do. This is for us to do. And so what's unique about this moment in Milwaukee is that we are – really the majority in this city. There are tons of resources that we have at our disposal if we would come up with a way, and if we unify everything on that agenda that you mentioned in terms of Governor Evers, the city of Milwaukee, Mayor Barrett's budget, we can have all of those things if we think systematically and intelligently and get to work. And so Milwaukee, you know, being the city that's coming up, you know, we have, you know, the Bucks just built a $500 million arena downtown. The Bucks have a bona fide superstar for the first time in how long? And, you know, they're looking to host a DNC convention. You understand what I'm saying? There's three black women on the city council now, you know.
But now, given those realities, though, Sister Cheryl, given those realities, I think – what needs to take shape is there is an agenda that is pushed forth to deal with the educational, the health, the housing, the job creation, and so forth by the members of the community, and making sure that the mayor, the governor, the county exec, or whoever adheres to these things that you bring forth. Because if you want Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin not to have the perception that is around this country that it is the worst place for African Americans to live. It is the worst place for African American children to go to school and so forth. That whole thing needs to change. And the only way that's going to change by it happening is not going to change by you hoping it changes, wishing it changes, you know, praying that it changes, boycotting or voting that it changes. It changed because y'all made a change by active engagement, by organizations, individuals, and city and state government coming together to make that happen. I know that the former governor and previous governors hated the city of Milwaukee. Right. Tommy Thompson hated Milwaukee, and you know Scott Walker hated Milwaukee. And now maybe you have a chance.
And now he lived downtown. He moved downtown.
Better find out where he is and go bum rush his crib. But you see what I'm saying is that.
Well, let me say this, Oshie. Listen, that's exactly what we're doing. That is exactly what we're doing. You know, the organization that I lead is called the 30th Street Industrial Corridor Corporation, and it's an organization founded in 1992 to do economic development in the 30th Street Corridor. So, as you are aware, and some people may not be aware, is that Milwaukee was probably the number one manufacturing city in the world.
At one time.
In the world. I mean, which created in the 30th Street Corridor, which is a neighborhood area that they built this industrial infrastructure in, because they built neighborhoods to house the workers they needed to work these factories. And so in the neighborhoods in the corridor, because you could go to A.O. Smith and get a job for $30 an hour in the 60s and without a high school diploma, you know what I mean? Even illiterate. It created these middle class neighborhoods in Milwaukee of black people, which at one time had the highest standard of living in the country for black people. And so, of course, the companies left, the divestment, the crime, the education system, all of these things that happened by design, because you know, I grew up in 53206, which they also, oh, that's the most incarcerated neighborhood.
Right, that's the worst neighborhood.
Right. I grew up in that neighborhood, and it was a good neighborhood. We had homeowners. I walked to school, to North Division High School. I went to school. I went to college. I didn't need remedial classes. I learned. But now there's just all of these things that happen. But it was by design. And you saw it with crack. When crack came into the hood, which we all know is by design. But my point is, so in a 30th Street corridor, our job is to revitalize that area because, again, Milwaukee would like to become a top manufacturing city again. And but yet the infrastructure, the buildings and the rail and all these things are surrounded in poor black neighborhoods. So traditionally, economic development is come in and build, put some money in and build nice things. But that doesn't just happen when you're a 90% residential and the people and are below poverty and all these other issues.
Mm-hmm.
So our approach is to work in the neighborhoods and the community as well as with the businesses, because the businesses there, even in Milwaukee. So that's the thing. That's the other key to what I was saying before about the opportunity here. The other opportunity is that Milwaukee wants to be better. Milwaukee is sick of being the worst, the most horrible place. They're having trouble attracting millennials and people to come here because they want to live in a metropolitan city. They don't want to live in a bum-ass backwards country city, you know what I mean, where it's so racist and segregated and their black friends can't hang out, you know? So it's in everyone's best interest to move things forward. And so that's what I was saying in terms of the tone, and also because, like, a lot of things in Milwaukee, in the country, is, well, let's talk about racism and we need to understand one another. And no, we don't need none of that. We don't need none of that. We need a plan in terms of moving the tide economically. Mm-hmm. And we also need to build a culture where we are educating our children, where we're holding them accountable, where we're taking advantage in the leadership on all of the things that happen in this city, which is our city. And so, again, like I was saying, with all the things that the government can do, we got to put the onus on us harder at this time. Not to say that there aren't people that need to do that and we don't need to be informed about that, but more than that, we need to focus on what we can do, because we can't. That is still centering white people, to be honest. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? When you're talking about what they did and what they going to do and what y'all, you're still centering them. You know, we need to center our babies. You know, we need to get in these schools and get them the type of education where they can compete internationally. You understand? Where they can take advantage of these jobs and be entrepreneurs and create things like that and attract. I heard, I did listen to some of Everett, you know, keep our brilliant millennials, attract other millennials here to work and build this into a black Mecca, because we can do that. You know why? Because we are, they say we're 40%, we're really more than that. But then also the white population is old and dying off and they don't have children. A lot of them.
Right. This is
so
true.
So we are like, we are primed to absolutely take over this city. But we got a lot of work to do because, you know, all of this disenfranchisement and all of the negative and uncivilized behavior that has come with living in this savage system. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to divest ourselves of that. And it's not through, you know, mental health. Because mental health is only drugs to them and money and genocide at the same time. So, but it's through creating a vision that they can see a beautiful future for themselves, for ourselves, and a pathway to make that happen. So the 30th Street Corridor, we have some board. We have Dr. Keenan Grinnell. He's a scholar from Mississippi, is economist and also a political scientist. He's an acolyte of Booker T. Washington. And again, Booker T., that brother gets the worst rap, okay? Because that you know why, though, Oshi? It's systematic, because they don't want us to build. He built, okay?
Right.
He built
an
institution.
Right. That's right.
He went into the country and got our people barefoot, naked, taught them how to brush their teeth, take a bath. You know, Black Business Association, women, all kind of trades.
Right.
But they don't want us to focus on him, so they demonize him. Because even with his so-called concessions, this brother, you live in Alabama after Reconstruction, after the Civil War, with these bitter, broken crackers.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Who was vicious.
Right.
So he's trying to navigate to where he can build institutions, but then also, you understand what I'm saying? So stop maligning that brother, because if we went his
no.
way, we would have something. Okay?
Well,
we would have trades, we would have farms, we would have everything we needed.
Right. See, you know, Du Bois had that mentality of intellectualism, where Booker T understood that, and that's why Marcus Garvey wanted to meet
right.
with him. That's why Marcus,
yes.
and unfortunately, he died before Marcus Garvey could actually have that meeting with him, because that was where Garvey was coming from is the same place
yes.
as Booker T was coming from. Build
yes.
your own, do for yourself.
This yes.
is, you know, make things happen for
yes.
yourself. And it would be a great thing
yes.
that in the city of Milwaukee, as bad as it is, all the statistical information that says otherwise, that there's a group of brothers and sisters in the city who came together from the public sector, the private sector, all
right.
sectors came together to formulate and develop a plan to change this whole dynamic, to make
yes.
sure that those who go to school, there is something for them when they
right.
graduate from high school, or something for them when they
right.
graduate from and get their college degree and so forth right in the city of Milwaukee,
right.
as opposed to taking that
right.
and taking all of that and,
right.
and just like you say, go somewhere else and a brain
right.
drain,
right.
come down here to Atlanta
right.
where ain't too much happening down
right.
here either, you know?
Right.
So,
because
yeah.
the thing is, Oshi, is that, you know, Milwaukee, you know, it's very affordable, the cost of living, you know, it's very livable just in terms of your access to things. It's close to a major city. We have water. That's the
yeah.
number one thing.
Yeah.
That's why everybody's here.
That's right.
That's why Foxconn is here, because we
right.
have fresh water. We
yeah.
ride on Lake Michigan.
Exactly.
And so
that's huge.
And then you can buy homes. And then also, like, you know, Atlanta and Philadelphia, all these places are already established in many ways. Here, you can really make your mark in terms of building out all of the things that we need for our people. And then you come to the table with something to negotiate, not as a beggar, not mm-hmm. as a whiner, you know, not as an accuser, not as a victim, you know what I mean? But as a power player
mm-hmm.
in terms of the city. And I just want to say, you mentioned the Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey. We have the blueprint. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad, you know,
mm-hmm.
we got everything, you know, in our culture and history that we can follow that program, because again, we cannot center white people. This is not about what they, because they're going to be who they are, but my thing is, you appeal to their own self-interest in terms of how this will benefit them.
Mm-hmm.
That's all they
right.
care about.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so, which is fine, because we got to learn how to do business.
Mm-hmm.
We got to learn how to do business. We can't be whining and crying all the time. No, let's do business.
And that's what we need to do. But first, before that, we need to put ourselves in a position of strength, so to speak. By that,
right.
I mean by us coming together, pulling the resources, you know, that
right.
we have, and helping one another, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The fact is, like I said, when I mentioned that to Everett, is that we are, you know, job seekers. We're not job givers. And the people
right.
who we seek jobs from can't stand us. And as a consequence, we are, as the cliche used to go, last hired, first fired, and all those kinds of things. But the reality is, if you develop a program like you're talking about, and it's interesting, and I think it's definitely doable, but it has to start
mm-hmm.
happening. It has to start seeing some results as you continue to progress with the program that, you know, are, you know, just like, check this out, Sister Cheryl, just like I said years ago, when Barack Obama first ran, I said, if our condition is better in a small measure, in an incremental measure, not monumental, not huge, but in a small measure, there's less mass incarceration, there's less unemployment, underemployment, there's less miseducation and so forth, and better job opportunities. If those things are shown to be better, then electing Barack Obama is definitely the thing to do. Well, unfortunately, that wasn't the case. But given that reality, if our situation is because of what you're talking about doing, that incrementally we continue to see that our situation is getting better. More of us are graduating. More of us have skills. More of us are health in the community. There's health centers and just like I mentioned, sexually transmitted diseases and other health issues. If those are constantly on the decrease and every year you see them decreasing and so forth, then that's what needs to happen. Because if Milwaukee's going to get out of that claim of being the worst place in the state of Wisconsin, the worst place for us to live, that's what has to happen. It has to, and that can't happen somewhere 10 years down the road. That has to start happening now. You know, that has to be put together now.
Well, the thing is, Oshie, it's in motion. It is in motion. And the only way for it to happen and for it to work is for it to be an organic, you know, process. And so I mentioned Dr. Grinnell. We also have Chris Boston on our board. He's an awesome strategist. He used to work with LISC and also Micah. We have Q El Amin, who's a young entrepreneur and developer in the city. We have Willie Smith, who's a lending officer with a community development corp in the city. So we have a board, we have a strategic plan. We also have a bid board. I also run a business improvement district where we have business owners in the neighborhoods and to support them. So we have some great people on that side as well.
Mm-hmm.
It's white people, black people, young people, old people. We have elected officials. We have the neighborhood associations. We have the schools. We have the churches. We have the community-based organizations. We all came together and created a plan, starting with one neighborhood, which is the Garden Homes neighborhood.
Okay.
And the approach we took, was not to complain about everything that's wrong, which we did that for one session. But then we quickly moved to, okay, so what can we do about it? Because we're all in the same neighborhood. We're all working in various ways. Why not come up with a strategic plan with us all together, reflecting the ways that we want to improve the neighborhood? So we came up with 31 goals, all doable things around housing, safety, economic development, workforce safety, health and wellness, education. And we have committees and we're all working together. And beyond that, we have our board of directors and we also have committees around the same areas where we're bringing in talent from other realms, whether that's the university system, whether that's city government, whether that's, you know, other neighborhood associations that have done housing or whatever the case may be. So we're working on magnifying, you know, things together, projects, goals, and we're continuing to build it out as well as to be a model for other neighborhoods in the city. And mm-hmm. So, like I said, it's easy to say what somebody else need to do or what needs to happen. But when you're actually doing the work, it takes time. You know, you mm-hmm. have to build relationships right. with people. You have to deal with some people who come for their ego, some people who come looking for money, you know, some people who are just stuck complaining all the time, some people who aren't necessarily fit for a certain thing but may need to contribute in another way. It's life, you know, it's culture. You know, you have to begin to change the culture and the focus and the goal, because one of the things I know is that what you feed is what grows.
Mm.
And so, you know, we have to be busy doing the work.
Right.
You know, being aware of all the things that's going on, being on top of it. Like I said, I totally agree those things that the governor can do, that the city government can do. But we have been disempowered by continuing to center white people and think that we have to turn to them for our solution. We don't have to do that. You know what I mean? We have tons of, I mean, for 53206 in these neighborhoods to be so poor, it sure is a whole lot of money coming in these neighborhoods. You know, there's certainly a lot of jobs and housing. I mean, there's just tons of opportunity. I'll just put it like that. So we have work to do on our end in terms of what leadership looks like and being able to being willing to get down and do the work.
Well, I'll say to you that I'm anxious you and all the other brothers and sisters and the people of goodwill in the community of Milwaukee come together to make that happen. And I will definitely be talking with you and checking back with you on its progress because, you know, time is of the essence. You know, we don't have a lot of time. Time is of the essence and things need to happen now, particularly because the situation is dire. It really is.
Right.
You know, we just can't afford to talk about something that may happen 4 or 5 years down the road. We need to talk about some improvements, some visible improvements at this time. Like, just like I stated, that incrementally and in small measure, you can say that it's not as bad as it was yesterday or last month or last year, and it's getting better all the time because people are being held accountable. People are making sure that the educational process is doing what is necessary, making sure that the health centers and the hospitals and so forth are doing what it's supposed to do. And then, of course, the job creation that is, you know, I mean, it's tough when you constantly see for the last number of years that Wisconsin and Milwaukee particularly is the worst place for us to be, to live. And this has been chronicled nationally in various publications. You know, when I first moved here to Atlanta, you know, a piece came out on a national scale talking about how terrible it is, you know, for American African people in the city of Milwaukee and the state of Wisconsin. And that's almost 5 years. And to me, now this piece that I've just read, this is last year. This was October of last year. And so, you know, that so of October of 2020, that changes. So when you have a year, this year, which is just basically starting to make this stuff happen. So next year, they're saying these are some marked improvements within the city of Milwaukee. I mean, one of the things is, and I agree with this article here about the mayor's budget. Y'all need to decrease what the police department is constantly given because the mindset is that this is a place where it is heavily policed, you know, to the point that, you know, you're afraid to do this, that, or the other because of the constant police presence and the fact that 80% of the police department is Caucasian, you know, and particularly maybe on our side of town and how they've policed us. And believe me, I've seen some bad stuff happening even while I was here on the fire department. So,
right,
there are some things that have to be done to make that happen. And I know that you're going to do all that you can and you got some good connects. And, you know, but still, y'all need more.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, and the thing is it's not going to happen overnight, but it's not going to happen unless and until we do it. Mm-hmm. And it's not a magic, you know, it's, you got to get up every day and do it.
Right.
You know, you got to set the agenda. You got to set the meetings. You know what I mean? You got to. It's a process.
Right. So oh yeah.
We got it. You know, and the thing is, so I just want to mention that you could check out our website. It's www.thecorridor, thecorridor-mke.org, thecorridor-mke.org, or 414-509-5115. 414-509-5115 if you want to check out some of the work that we're doing. But it's you know, it's a movement. All of those things do need to happen, but we got to be multifaceted. You know, do not see any successful community or constituency that sits around and cries and begs.
Yeah,
you know, and then what y'all gonna do? You right. know what I'm saying?
And then when you do that, when you sit around crying and begging, what do you get? You get crumbs,
right?
You get exactly. crumbs. That did something just to pacify you for the minute until you sit around crying and begging again. So you know we have a lot mm-hmm. to deal with. You know, so once again, mm-hmm. that's the corridor-mke.org, the corridor dash MKE, which is Milwaukee.org, and check out what they're doing. We only have about 5 minutes left before the end of the program, Sister Cheryl. Brother Everett joined us. You got any closing remarks, Brother Everett Kirkcroft?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, great. I really appreciate Cheryl Blue and all her efforts to bring our community together. But like you and I said a long time ago, everybody wants unity, but nobody wants to unite. Unite, you have to do something. So I really commend Cheryl for doing something, because that's the only way you're going to bring the people together.
Right.
They got to see somebody doing something. Just like when Barack Obama, you know, so when he was running for president, I know he didn't meet all the check all the boxes for everybody, but when we found out we could get behind one brother, just like you were talking about Ashanti, it's like we can move mountains. And I just wanted to know, I know the city has an opportunity for nonprofits to take over, rehab some of those houses in the 30th quarter. And can you send me a list of those? Because the Brotherhood would be more than happy, you know, because they talk about cop houses. We need a firefighter house in that neighborhood, too, where somebody can come in and get their blood pressure checked, get their sugar checked, and things of that
nature. Okay. Well, let's talk offline. I got your number. Let's talk offline.
Okay. All right.
Outstanding.
Yeah, appreciate you, Oshie.
Always, Brother Everett, always. Talk to you soon, dear brother. And any closing remarks, Sister Cheryl?
I just want to say that, you know, the work is, there's a verse in the Bible, it says, like, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, you know. And we are African people. You know, our culture is not the same as European people. Mm-hmm. And so for us, it has to be a movement. It has to be a righteous journey, mm-hmm. you know, for our people, for our ancestors who 400 years ago this year landed in North America, you know, to begin the worst Holocaust of any people ever in history.
That's right.
We owe it to them. We owe it to our children.
Right.
And like I said, we have to focus on our power. We have a lot of power if we would come together. And it's, we got to break it down to piece by piece, bite by bite. So when it gets, you know, so broad and big, what can you do? But you can build from the ground up. And it's, you know, there's a lot of people that complain. There's a lot of people who, whatever their issue is, listen, we're not here for that. You can go somewhere else with that. If you're serious about building and moving our people forward, then you can rock with us, because that's what we're doing. And we have, like you said, Oshie, we got a window of opportunity.
That's right.
If we don't seize it, we're finished.
That's right, because
okay?
it's not going to be there for long. That window of opportunity won't be there for long. You got to seize the moment.
Right.
Exactly.
And that's what we intend to do.
Ashe. Well, brothers and sisters, please stay with me. We end this program like we end all of our programs with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind, but not just the MIND, but the MINE, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. But they are ours to be managed by us and for our prosperity. Brothers and sisters, I hope you have a blessed and wonderful day. Shemhotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Abibi Fahodia means our victorious destiny. Brothers and sisters, Bibi Fahodia, have a blessed and wonderful day. And I'll see you and hope to hear from you again on Wednesday. Peace, family.